of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou
Chief Article of Faith, Article 16 of Civil Affairs. Of civil affairs, they teach that lawful civil ordinances are good works of God, and that it is right for Christians to bear civil office, to sit as judges, to judge matters by the imperial and other existing laws, to award just punishments, to engage in just wars, to serve as soldiers and to make legal contracts to hold property, to make oaths when required by the magistrates, to marry a wife, to be given in marriage, They condemn the Anabaptists who forbid these civil offices to Christians. They condemn also those who do not place evangelical perfection in the fear of God and in faith, but in forsaking civil offices. For the gospel teaches an eternal righteousness of the hearers, of the heart. Meanwhile, it does not destroy the state or the family, but very much requires that they be preserved as ordinances of God, and that charity be practiced in such an ordinance. Therefore, Christians are necessarily bound to obey their own magistrates and laws, save only when commanded to sin, for then they ought to obey God rather than men. So far of the reading. Can you hear me okay? I can't hear me. Okay. The Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 24. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, and God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you will die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not die, or you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, and that it had pleasure to the eyes, and a tree to make one desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And then the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves for the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then he said, Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, Well, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave to me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, Well, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto your husband, and he shall rule over you. And then Adam, and unto Adam he said, Now listen to this. Because you listened to your wife, the voice of thy wife, thou hast eaten of the tree, which I command thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall you eat it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to it, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And then Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And Adam also, and his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin for to clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, who knows good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of the life and eat, he will live forever. Therefore the Lord God set him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. All ye that touch it, lest you die. So far the Old Testament. I just thought of something here. We're told here that God himself made animal skins for him. That's the first sacrifice recorded in the Bible. And that starts out where, you know, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So the shedding of blood was first done in the Garden of Eden, when God himself killed some animals to make some furs for Adam and Eve. This is a passing thought. The epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And then as the workers together with him beseech you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. I have heard thee in the time of accepted, and in the day of thy salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and affliction, in necessities and distresses, in stripes and imprisonment, in tumults and labors, in watchings and fastings, in pureness and knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, and by the word of truth, and by the power of God. By the armor of righteousness, on thy right hand and on thy left, by honor and dishonor, the evil report and good report, as receivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, and chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich and having nothing, and ye possessing all things. So far the epistle lesson. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Mark, or St. Matthew, chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And then he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And then Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And then said unto him, All of these I will give thee, if he will fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So follow the Holy Gospel. At this time, we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God,
begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light,
very God,
begotten of not made,
being of one substance of our Father, by whom all things are made,
who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven,
and was born of the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary,
and was made man,
and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered and was buried,
and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures,
and ascended to heaven,
and sits on the right hand of the Father,
and he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead,
whose kingdom is
shall have no end.
And I believe the Holy Ghost,
the Lord of the light of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son together
worships and glorifies,
who sing by the prophets.
And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins,
and I look for the resurrection of the dead,
and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with hymn 457, please.
Thank you.
Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is Temptation Conquered. And it's based upon our gospel lesson, and I would like to read the first verse of the gospel. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So far. One of the outstanding problems of the human race today is the problem of temptation. It's as old as the Garden of Eden, and it's as new as this very hour. For Satan, the tempter, he is always at work. Temptation is indeed a perplexing problem. On the one hand, we see marvelous progress in the life that we live compared to 100 years ago. Advancement in health, medicine, science, they've worked well to our advantage. But on the other hand, there has been no moral progress as far as I can see. No invention or discovery known to science whereby people, the individual, may be morally improved. It does not happen. As a matter of fact, I believe that the problems of temptation have become increasingly difficult, especially in the recent few years. Temptation is a very serious problem. The wave of temptation has become increasingly difficult, especially, as I mentioned earlier, the past few years. Temptation, once again, is a very serious problem. It has become increasingly difficult for us to overcome. We cannot do it by ourselves. The utter disregard for law and order, indifference toward all things spiritual and eternal, the untold misery and suffering in many homes, all point to the power of temptation in our lives. It's everybody's problem. Everybody's problem. Whether you live in the city or the country, in the church or in the world, can afford to dream that he or she is safe and immune, we're not. We may be somewhat because we live in a smaller community, but you leave a small community and you're going to run into some real serious problems. We see it on television. And it's a hopeless problem without Christ. But with Christ and through Christ, it can be solved in a victorious way. Therefore, on the basis of this morning's gospel reading, we shall examine the temptations of the devil and how to conquer them successfully. Jesus Christ, our divine Lord and Savior, is led by the Spirit of God. He's led by the Spirit of God to go out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He's led by God to do that. Of course, we know he's doing that for us. Christ is to be subject to the severest temptations. Only three temptations are recorded in the gospel, although there must have been undoubtedly many, many more. Many throughout his life, and finally in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, each one of them was a real temptation to Jesus Christ. Just as there are times in our lives when our faith is brought into harm's way because of temptation, so there were in the times of our Lord times of trying temptations. God's eternal plan for the salvation was to be carried out. Christ was to save the world by his vicarious suffering and death. All the evil that has been brought into this world by Satan, all with the many consents and cooperation, if you will, of us, the punishment in time and eternity that we have deserved. All of this was to be suffered by the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. The head of the serpent was to be crushed, and his grasp on mankind released forever. Now, these temptations of Jesus by the devil were a part of his redemptive work. He was to overcome the temptation for us. And how important it is that we dwell upon this saving work of Jesus, especially during the Lenten season. However, Christ is alone. Christ is also our model, if you will. In each of the temptations of Christ, the cunning manner of Satan is pictured. Satan is no dummy. He knew how Jesus longed for the salvation of the world, and how eager he was to seek and to save that which was lost. How willingly Jesus Christ was to pay the entire debt with his life. Jesus was hungry after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and hunger naturally diminishes one's resistance, both physical and mentally. This temptation of the devil was a temptation to doubt the providence of God and to let selfishness rule rather than self-sacrifice. Next, temptation in the holy city itself, on the pinnacle of the temple. No place was too sacred for Satan. In this temptation, Satan tried to plant the seed of self-glorification in the heart of Jesus. Satan even finally used the word of God, but he used it wrongly. The recorded temptation is where Satan brings up the wealth and the glories of the earth. Nothing would have pleased the Jews more than to have a Jesus who would give them the entire world, making him king. And Jesus, who was willing to walk in this great humility and poverty, this was indeed another serious temptation for him. From these temptations of Jesus, we are to learn the nature and the methods of Satan's temptation. Martin Luther describes Satan's temptation as deep guile and great might. Satan tries to blind us against the real nature of sin, and in this way he tempts all people, believers as well as non-believers. Holy Scripture tells us that sin is a transgression of God's law, that sin separates us from God, brings God's wrath and curse upon us, that sin is to be avoided and hated. Satan, however, pictures sin as something beautiful, to be desired, worth having, and necessary for life. Satan tries to conceal the hideous nature of sin by beautifying it as something that's very small to begin with, of little or no consequence. We might well be discouraged if we had to face Satan alone, and if victory depended upon us. Again, Luther, with might of ours cannot be done. But Christ our Lord shows us how to obtain the victory in the temptations of the devil. When Satan tempted Jesus to prove that he was God's son by making bread out of stones, Jesus says it is written. When Satan tempted Jesus to self-glory, it is written. Every time Jesus used the word of God against Satan, it is written. And that is the weapon with which Jesus conquered. So we too should use God's word in order to conquer. It is written. If we follow our Lord and use his word as well as a weapon against Satan, we can be assured of victory, and always the assistance of the Holy Spirit will be with us. Diligently hear and study the word of God, and in every temptation fight, using the word of God, it is written. May God, through word and sacrament, grant this to each of us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Christ, who calleth unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them, and give rest unto our souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith and increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all the places at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Oh,
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Take and drink. This is the true blood.
Say it.
may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take
make his body and blood strength and preserve you. Keep you as one true faith and a life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.